You're not human.
That's hurtful. Are you that guy with the evil powers? I think everyone has dark urges. It's kind of my thing.
Welcome, adventurers, to this episode of the Hugh Writes with Monsters podcast. I'm D. Allen.
And I'm Donnie B. How are we feeling for episode 7?
Feeling good. And how are you feeling today, Donnie?
I'm feeling really good. This is going to be my favorite episode thus far. We are going to really get into magic, and I'm here for it.
Absolutely. Last time we were talking about chapters 18 and 19, and we touched on chapter 20 a little bit, but we want to leave a lot of that for this episode, in that it's all about magic and rituals and whatnot. Donnie, tell us a little more about what we're doing today.
Yeah, so today we are really going to get into chapter 20 a little bit, touch a little bit on chapter 21. When we left off, Jason was deciding to become an adventurer or not, deciding to use his essences or not. The team got into a little bit on, you know, what the essences are, restricted essences, stuff like that. Today, we are going to really deep dive and get into what magic is in this new universe and how it works, and all the different types of magic that we have. If we have time at the end, we'll get a little bit into Jason's essences and his observation of said essences. But let's get right into it. Where do we want to start this off?
All right. So I wanted to start it off just with something that I found to be a little funny. In the last section of chapters, Jason was really lamenting having to have killed people. And he's like real sad, sad boy vibes. In this chapter, they're talking about essences and different power sets and whatnot. Or Gary's talking about someone having the ability to smite a bunch of people. And Jason's like, "Ah, smiting sounds awesome." And I was like, bro, just like a chapter ago, yeah, you were sad about having killed a bunch of people. And now all of a sudden, you're like, okay with smiting people. What's up with that?
So I think this is the part where they're discussing the sin essence and how rare it is and how Gary knew somebody with the sin essence. I think the main difference in these is there's a difference in Jason's mind between executing prisoners and, you know, smiting, because the act of smiting is really just a god's retribution for those who have sinned. So, you know, it can be as cruel as, you know, killing or ordering to kill. But I think more often than not, it's just a punishment. You know, it's basically the god grounding somebody for having trespassed on their way of thinking. You know, so a smiting can be a, you know, just a slap on the wrist type thing. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, the wrath of God coming down and destroying a planet.
Fair enough. I guess just
that's how I see it anyway.
In my mind, smiting is like a synonym for killing, just on a god level, like you were being smitten. Well, but then we have our other word for smitten. I don't know, man. The English language is weird, so I can't really tell you a whole much one way or the other.
I think the appropriate past tense for having been smited is smote. In this case, so like an example in our world. You know, in the story of Moses, when he goes to the Pharaoh to demand the release of his people, you know, we see the 10 plagues that are brought upon the Egyptians when they refuse. And, you know, it starts small and then builds up to eventually death, mass death. But every single plague, you know, from the lack of sun to the frogs, all the way up into killing the firstborns, are all examples of smiting. You know, and so that's how I would see it. So the Pharaoh refuses the will of God, so God smites him for it. Smiting is just a retribution for sin.
Okay, and that's so it's, fair.
I think in Jason's mind, that's where he's going.
That's fair. I guess, like I said, in my mind, it was always just a synonym for being killed by God.
It can be, but I don't think it always is. As much like the sin essence that we see here, you know, the connotations between sin, you know, Pharisees, the sin cube, and it's basically just a cube of transcendent light. You know, it's all silver and gold, and right, she would expect it to be dark and brooding, you know, because sin as a word has a very negative connotation. When in essence, as it were, sin is just the act of transgression against a certain code of ethics.
Right. So exactly.
If you believe something and you act against that belief, that is sin, regardless of the source or regardless of the transgression. So it's not inherently an evil thing. It's just been defined as an evil thing because going against morals is just bad blanket statement.
Right. And I mean, we'll see more as the series goes on, but the sin essence really manifests itself in a very different way. Like, you know, in Jason's mind, it's like, initially it's like, oh, taking this is a sin. Whereas it ends up manifesting in him as the capability to be sinned against, you know, like,
yeah. And we see that with his aura power later on, you know, his entire aura power is about transgressions against Jason and his allies, you know, having retribution. And that's really what it is. The essence of sin means your powers are based around people transgressing against you.
Right.
I feel like that's, and we get into it a little bit later when Jason has one of his self-discovery moments, you know.
So another thought I had about the sin essence, you know, we're talking about it being like a transgression, is it's also kind of in a way connected with justice and also Jason's sense of justice. And it kind of makes sense because, you know, a sin would essentially be a crime against your God or astral being, whatever it may be, or Jason Asano. And so the repayment of that sin would be a form of justice. So it is actually kind of apt that Jason, who has such a big sense of justice, would end up with the sin essence. You know what I mean?
I think so, yeah. Because he has very strong morals and very strong sense of direction in terms of what is right and what is wrong. Pair that with his complete and total lack of regard for, you know, authority figures like government authorities and, you know, his issues that he has with the gods on Palamustis. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like, I think he's very, very strongly believing in the, you know, what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong versus what you say is right and what I say is wrong type thing. So the ability for him to incorporate the sin essence into his being and be able to enforce his own personal code of ethics, if you will, I think will be strong. As we've seen, it's a very strong influencer in the series itself, and, you know, kind of lays the groundwork for what we see later on in the series. It's like, he's going to do what he thinks is right anyway, and he's going to act in a way that he feels is right anyway. And so it would just make sense for him to have this essence because it's already a part of who he is. Now he has powers to match.
Right. Yeah. And that's exactly what I was saying is, you know, it just makes sense that he would end up with this. And so one thing that I kind of thought of was, in our society, we think of sin as equivalent to death. In fact, I'm almost certain, you know, there's what, the wages of sin is death, right? Is a Bible verse. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it's going to be assumed that death is associated with this. So I was wondering if the local death god had any say in what essences, specifically confluence essences, come from certain things like sin or whatnot. Because I would think that, you know, the concept of sin to a local god might might be most associated with death. Possibly.
So on this train, I would say probably not. Because as we'll get into it here in just a sec. But an essence itself is just a physical manifestation of an ideal, right? It is the magic in the universe coalescing and creating a tangible amount of power that's associated with the idea of what something is. So in this case, you know, like the god of death has his sins, but so does every other god and every other person on this planet. You know, everybody has an idea of what sin is. And, you know, if we think about it, like in our culture, sin itself is a very religious word. You know, its connotations have become synonymous with religion, you know, so like, I can't sin against you because you're not God type thing. But if we look at what in essence a sin is, you know, if you get, like, you break the rules at work, that is sin. You know, you have sinned at your work. You know, it's not a religious thing. It's just the way the word is. It's the way the word works out and what it means, you know? So I think the idea, especially with this essence and with this series, I think the reason that Sherdaloon included this essence in this series is to, you know, bring to our minds that the words that we use in connotations are not inherently what they mean. Usually, you know, we deal with this a lot, you know, it's like the water essence is a physical and magical manifestation of what water is, you know, right. It embodies just what water is. So like it wouldn't be restricted to, you know, the will of the local god of the ocean, you know, they wouldn't have dominion over this essence because it's just water. It is what it is. And with sin in particular, like every god on this planet has their own set of sins. And so it would be impossible for regulation standpoints to have one person in charge of what the sin essence really means and what powers you get from it. So, and we'll look into how that plays into, you know, confluence essences and Jason's ability specifically in a bit. But first, for those of you who aren't like me, and don't have a really strong grasp on the magic system immediately, we're going to break it down for you. We're going to look at what magic is and how it introduces itself into this world. Let's get to it. So we get a little bit of a lecture from the team about the magic in this world. What we're going to be talking about mostly right now is going to be just manifestations coming into Jason's essence rituals and his becoming Iron Rank. This is really what happens and what matters. So the first thing that we've seen so far with magic, it condenses into basically a concentrated area where it then manifests into the physical world in various ways. We have five different types of manifestations that we usually see. The first one we get to is monsters. You know, this is the whole point of what we're doing here. It condenses into a semi-sentient being. So it creates a body and it doesn't have a soul. That's the main difference between monsters and anything else magical. There's no soul attached to it. It's just an outlash of magic doing magic things.
Right.
We've only seen.
And with the monsters, with how they function with magic. So they form and they start out relatively tame, but there's a timer on them as, you know, on their lifespan. They have a slight allotment of time, and the closer they get to the end of that time, the more and more aggressive they get, which is the entire point of the Adventure Society, to stop the monsters before they get to that aggressive point. However, if they are left alone long enough, they will dissolve and break back down into raw magic.
Yes. It's like filling up a bucket with water, but there's a hole in the end of it, you know? And the lower rank the monster is, the bigger the hole in the bottom of the bucket, you know? So a lesser monster that we've seen are basically at the end of their life already. They've got maybe a week or two on them.
Which is why they're aggressive.
They are already breaking down to the point. Yeah, they are super aggressive. They attack Jason on sight, is what we've seen. But as you get higher ranks, you know, gold rank and silver rank monsters can last months at a time, sometimes years, you know, and they're basically just doing their own thing until they get to that point where they start having to attack everything. And that's really where they get danger. Now, monsters don't really have ranks like essence users would. Right. They have, it's just a power threshold type thing.
Right. I was going to say they do have ranks, but it's not the same level. Now, here's a thought, though. In, I want to say it's book four, maybe end of book three, not sure which, where he fights the gold rank dinosaur guy. Like, I mean, I feel like that guy may have had the ability to progress in rank, or was he just born at gold rank and that's just how he was because he was a monster? Was he just a monster with like a higher level of sentience? Or
yeah, so he was born at gold rank, you know, he doesn't have a soul, but he has the capacity to understand, you know, and think logically. So he's born with an inherent intelligence, which is a really big issue for a lot of monsters. You know, the higher rank a monster is, the more likely it is to be intelligent and use logic and thinking. This specific type of monster happened to be able to communicate, use speech to convey that thinking. You know, we see higher rank monsters being referenced later on, where, you know, you have a pack mentality where there's a leader and the group acts in specific forms to best handle the prey that they're hunting, you know, kind of like how a velociraptor would. You know, they're not intelligent in the form that they speak and communicate to us, but they're intelligent in the way that they can hunt as a team and communicate with each other in that team. So they don't really have intelligence in the way that we would normally associate it, but they are intelligent.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. And obviously, given that they're not normal creatures with souls, whatnot, you know, they're not going to have the ability to use essences or anything like that. They're just born with whatever powers and abilities that they have, and they have whatever their limited time slot of life is to do whatever they as a manifestation of magic are gonna do. And in general, monsters are the most prevalent manifestation of magic. One thing I wanted to ask about real quick though, so the magic itself though, it comes raw from the astral, correct?
Initially.
Got you. And is it ever really described how it transfers from the astral to the planet or realm universe in question?
So it goes, it's based on the universe in question. Every universe has like a membrane around it that separates it from the astral and the physical, and the magic that is on that world, the magic density of that world is based on, you know, how pliable that membrane is. So the magic goes from the astral through the membrane into the universe. Very similar. We get the dumpling analogy a little bit later, so we'll deep dive how it works when we get to that point. Why Earth doesn't have a lot of magic, because that universe's membrane is not as pliable to allow the magic to seep through as much. So it's a lot more rigid. Gotcha. It doesn't get that.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. And that's just one, granted, the biggest one, but just one breakdown of what magic can do. What else can magic do?
Oh, the next most common form of manifestation we get is what's known as quintessence, which is very similar to essence itself. It's a lot more prevalent. It's just little pieces of essences. So they're tiny little crystals that manifest that have the same affinities as an essence would. So like a dark quintessence would be the essence of darkness, just not in a form that's concentrated and usable enough to use as an essence. This is going to be where your crafting materials come from. They use this. We see in this chapter, Gary says he uses piles of quintessence in crafting, you know, and this is where we get right. things like dark affinity type items. So it's a way of imbuing items and rituals with the essence without using the amount of magic, concentrated magic that you would need an essence for.
Right. For an actual like essence cube, like there's going to be a ton of magic in there. Whereas, you know, quintessence is just going to be, you know, as if you shattered that into a million pieces.
Yeah. 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 So it's like a fraction of the percent of an essence.
Right.
And it does there. It has the same thing.
Right. And they're actually described, though. They're not little shards, though. They are described as little gemstones. So, you know, you could imagine in this scenario, just a big pile of black gems, as it were. Black gemstones. In my mind, I just viewed it as like your typical diamond cut, but just black.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I imagine too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of essences, that's the next thing on our list. So essences and quintessence are the same thing, but essences are cubes, you know, full form cubes of magic that are used to imbue compatible species with magical powers. And this is what we're talking about in this series, is what Jason's going to use here in a minute that we'll get into.
Okay, so here's a weird one then. If essences and quintessence are basically the same thing, could you not, in theory, then take enough quintessence that would amount to the amount of magic in an essence? Could it then function as an essence, or could it be combined into an essence?
No, and that's specifically stated here. There's no way to combine enough quintessence to make an essence. You know, that's the alchemist version of turning lead into gold on Earth. You know,
right.
Is everybody tries it, nobody succeeds. And I think the reason for this is, you know, what the manifestation is meant for. Right. So the quintessence is like, hey, this is what darkness is, just like essences are. But essences are specifically magic that's designed to be transferable. Whereas quintessence is just, yeah, that's what it is. Does that make any sense?
Okay, so I think maybe to put it in a different way, essences are magic that is condensed in a way to where its power can be transferred. Whereas quintessence, its magic is meant, you know, in a way that it can only be consumed, not the power transferred, but just the power consumed.
Yeah, basically. It's like if you took the car battery out of your car, you really wouldn't be able to effectively strap enough AAA batteries together to run your car. Even though they're both batteries, you know, you wouldn't be able to take a AAA battery and use it in place of, you know, your 12 volt battery that's in your car.
Well, I disagree though, slightly. You actually could get enough AAA batteries together if you ran them in series to create the proper voltage to, at least for a brief period of time, start and maybe run your car. Well, at least start your car. I don't know if it would continue going, but you could absolutely do that. It would just take a lot of batteries.
I mean, yes, but at that point you're comparing the difference between essences and spirit coins. Like, yeah, you could use a spirit coin to boost your attributes, but it's not going to be a good idea to do that long term. How many AAA batteries would it take to run your car?
Well, see, the thing is, it's the amps that matter. You're not getting a whole lot of amps out of one little AAA battery. So,
right. It'd be like, like your quintessence still runs on the 12 volts that your essence does, but the amperage is so low you could never get enough of them to equal what you would need for your car.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's an apt analogy.
I think so.
But also,
that's what I had written down because I couldn't think of anything else aside from switching out your 9 volt battery for a 12 volt battery.
It could be done. It can be.
Kind of.
No, it can.
Anyway.
Anyway.
It can. But
it can, though. How else does magic manifest itself?
Your next, the next one that's actually talked about in these chapters is going to be your awakening stones. And right. Those are, the way I see it, those are very similar to the way an essence or a quintessence manifests. Just a lot more specific. You know, so you wouldn't have an essence of the feast. You would have an awakening stone of the feast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of, instead of having the essence of a broad spectrum of things, like water could be any number of things, an awakening stone would be used in the similar way that an essence would, just to awaken an ability that that essence
right.
gives you. But you would have so much more. So you have a awakening stone of the rain, awakening stone of rivers and stuff like that. So it's a lot more specific than an essence,
but
similar in usage.
You know, you might have the essence, you might have a gluttony essence, but then an awakening stone of the feast. You know, two similar concepts, but very different. One is an overarching concept. The other one is a lot more specific.
Yeah, exactly. And right. awakening stones, the way these work, are actually pretty fascinating. So you awaken a power from an essence that you already have absorbed. And this is basically the closest thing we're going to get to a randomized selection of data. Compared in like in a video game. So if you use an awakening stone, we know that the rarer the awakening stone is, the less powers it can give you. And the way I break this down in my head, so you have an essence and you take a pool of every ability that that essence can give you. Mm-hmm. Your awakening stone determines a smaller pool from that larger amount. So like the awakening stone of the feast will give you, you know, like 75% of the abilities that you could awaken with that essence. The rarer the stone, the smaller the pool becomes that you can choose from.
Right.
It'd be very much like, so I have written here, like a common stone would be like gaining a random cantrip in D&D, whereas a rare or a legendary awakening stone would be like gaining a random ranger spell, like very specific to rangers.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
And we'll get into this a little bit later. I have a question for you later, but we'll get into it. So it's just awakening stones give you abilities that you choose from. So it's just narrowing down what abilities you can get based on the stone that you use. That's really the main function of an awakening stone. I do have one other thing that's not mentioned in these chapters, but I wanted to get your opinion on.
Okay, go ahead.
I have it listed as a manifestation. I have gods. Because as we find out later on a little bit, as it's explained, so like a god is only like present in Palamustis because the magic levels are high enough to warrant the existence of a god. Mm-hmm. And gods are basically at the basic level, gods are a physical manifestation of magic to regulate the way magic works within their purview. Right. So the goddess of knowledge
right.
is a physical manifestation of magic that governs how knowledge is disseminated magically.
Right.
So I would count gods as a manifestation of magic.
Dude, that's crazy. So if they are, then gods are definitely on the upper end of the magic that gets taken in. However, it's all on the front end, I'm assuming, when the planet is forming, that these gods are also formed with the planet, or, you know, when life is advancing and whatnot. So at a certain point, I'm sure the magic may stop, or at least greatly lessen, that's directly going to those gods. But I think a great deal of the magic of the planet is probably contained in those gods specifically.
I'm thinking so. And there's, like, we have the natural gods, like God of Oceans and God of Death and stuff. I would see being a part of the planet combo, you know. But things like knowledge and dominion and heroes, those are all, for lack of a better term, human representations of ideas, you know. Mm-hmm. And so as would they exist before, you know, the native species comes up with the idea of dominion or the idea of heroes? Or do they form when there's enough people embodying that ideal to warrant a god for it?
Now, I feel like you're being too... You're thinking too sapient species specific, because think about dominion, you know? Like, wolves have a hierarchy, order, and whatnot. So I'm certain that at least a god like dominion would 100% form well before a sentient species on a planet would, because there's plenty of other species in general that are going to need that, especially in a magic realm, because you have magical species as well as magical monsters. So there will have to be a magical order to, you know, what's going on, even without a sentient species to recognize it and know it. And I think that's the case for a lot of these things, because the gods function as fundamental laws of that universe. And you can't be fundamental if you weren't there from the onset, or at least from the onset of the world as you know it. Now, and obviously we do see astral beings and gods forming later on, once things happen. But I do think a great deal, and especially the more important, more well-known gods, are probably the ones that have been around much, much longer in the formation of the planet, just on the fact that, you know, they're older, so they have more prominence.
I can see that, yeah. That's where you get your subordinate gods and your dominant gods.
Exactly. You know, that's where you get your hierarchy of the gods in the first place, which also backs up my fact that Dominion would be around early, because he'd also have to be the help with the hierarchy among the gods of the planet, I would assume.
Interesting. Well, no, because gods don't have influence over each other.
No, but at the same time,
like, knowledge can't know what the other gods know, because they're not under her purview.
Sure, but there's still going to be a hierarchy. It'd be, you know, it'd be like the gods would act probably like a boardroom, you know, where dominion and knowledge and others might be, you know, they're sitting at the head of the table making the bigger decisions, because the stuff they're dealing with is just on bigger scales than, say, the god of jealousy. You know, he's going to be operating on a much smaller scale. So I do think that there's a hierarchy in the gods, and they may not have domain over other gods, but I still think they would have influence at the very least in a hierarchical way.
Oh, so I think the way I see the hierarchy of the gods, meaning the subordinate and the dominant, is similar to the way we view essences and awakening stones. Right, so you have the god of truth and the god of lies are subordinate gods to knowledge, in the same way that, you know, you'd have an essence of knowledge and then awakening stones of truth and awakening stones of lies. You know, they're only subordinate because those are both inherently knowledge-based ideals. So the goddess of knowledge can't decide what truth and lies do. They're subordinate in the way, in the fact that those are both types of knowledge.
Right.
So I don't think there's any decisions being made. So like when Dominion decides to do something, no other god can have an influence on that decision. Much the same as if any god decides. That's why Disguise gets away with being purity for so long. Because it's his domain. He's disguising. Nobody can say anything about it. Because that's his domain. Nobody has any influence on that.
Right, and I'll give you that. However, and like I said, I'm not saying that they're going to have direct, forceful influence on any other god, as it were. But it's also like, hey, Dominion's doing a thing. Like, it might piss off one of the other lesser gods, and there's going to be some amount of backlash. Whatever. Point being, overall, is just that there's going to be some amount of hierarchical order of operations in just the way things operate. And there's probably a lot of stuff that, you know, Dominion might want to have done. And it might require some of the other gods to either do something or get out of the way. And without his, you know, domination and respect and whatever it may be that he has, you know, they may not be so inclined to do so, but I don't know. I don't know. I think there might be
some. I don't think there's really any influence. I don't know. I think we need to get into that when Jason reaches the worship square and learns how gods work.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right now we're talking about essences.
That's true. But, I mean, it's all intertwined, man. It's all intertwined.
It is.
Now,
an entire theological debate.
So now let's merge the idea of essences with rank here, because as we see, as they're discussing what essences do and what they can do, whatnot, essentially he needs to get 4 essences to go to Iron Rank. Now they don't really tell him what that means. We'll get into that later, but the important factor here is the 4 essences thing. And at this point, Jason has come across 3 essences. They're like, oh, well, you need 4 to be, you know, to get to Iron Rank. And he's, oh, well, you know, got anything on you? And this is where we get introduced to the concept of confluence essences. And like I mentioned in the last episode, confluence means flow together. So any combination of 3 essences end up flowing together into a 4th confluence essence.
Yes. And like we talked about in the last episode, you know, confluence is going to be a combination of the 3 essences that you absorb first, manifesting into flowing into basically what those combined elements would be. Here we get a little bit more into it. So we'll see in a second here, we'll go into it, but Jason absorbs his essences and gets his confluence. And here we learn that if you reject your confluence essence, you can't get it back. You know, just like with Farah's essence, her volcano confluence, you can't find a volcano essence anywhere. That's just a confluence of what she has. But you can replace that 4th essence with just a regular one, which got me into thinking some rando on Earth getting essences, absorbing the Earth, fire, and air essences, and then deciding not to take whatever that confluence would be, and just replacing it with a full Avatar set and becoming Avatar the Last Airbender. And every time I think of confluence essences, I'm like, is there a way to do? Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
But who would do that? What do you think that would look like?
It would look like what you would do if you had the ability to get essences, probably.
Yeah, that's fair.
No, and I mean,
straight memeing on TikTok, earth, wind, fire, air.
Now, earth, water, I think, fire, though, air. Now, granted, you probably wouldn't get a very great synergy with your essences, given that you've rejected whatever confluence earth, fire, and air give you, which, dude, thinking about it, like, what if you got the glass essence, by the way? That might be fucking cool.
That could be really cool. Hear me out, though. You have the four element essences, and all you use, all of your awakening stones are all awakening stones of the Avatar.
You would either have a really fun broken power set, or you would have a really dumb broken power set.
Shirtaloon, we need to find out what would happen.
Also, fun quick fact for you. The word synergy actually dates back way longer than you think. It's from like the 17th century.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And like confluence, meaning flow together, it means work together. So many together words. I love it.
Yes, working together is what they do. And speaking of synergies, let's talk a little bit about Jason's essences. So we know Jason's already absorbed the dark essence. He has still with him the blood essence and the sin essence, which we've talked about a little bit as well. Right. I feel like blood is pretty self-explanatory. We look up the essence combinations, and we actually have his listed combination. So those three are going to combine and create the doom essence.
All right. So now, before we get any further, I did want to mention the fact that it is a listed power set already. We already know it's not restricted. It's just a listed power set. I really wonder what the other adventurers who had this set were like and what they did with this power set.
Right. Considering the rarity of the Sin Essence in general, I feel like this was one person, like a pretty good time ago, that had used these essences. It was, if I had to guess, it was one of those people that was just trying out new essence combinations, got their hands on these three essences and were like, yeah, let's do that. And formed, I mean, we know that they were an affliction specialist.
Right. And the interesting thing is, even though the essence combination is the same, it's a guaranteed fact that the awakening stone combination wasn't the same. So whoever it was had a different power set than Jason entirely.
Oh, 100%. If I'd had to guess, it would be your classic, affliction specialist type power set. Range, area attacks, you know, stand behind the front line type affliction specialist. But yeah, I thought about that too. Like, there was somebody at some point that had this power set, and were they just a Jason Asano vanilla version?
Vanilla Jason Asano, right? Like diet Asano.
Yeah.
Oh no. Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of where my mind went. It was like he would probably have just been some mid average, whatever affliction specialist, you know, probably no one of note, just a guy that happened to have this specific combination, but didn't really go down in the history books for it. But I think it's fun to at least think about, you know, what other people with this exact combination might do, you know, and frankly, given how everyone's reaction to these three essences together is, I feel like most people who would generally pick this, like if someone sought this out, they'd probably be up to no good.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, affliction specialist is a rare category anyway. You know, nobody wants to be the niche guy who can use afflictions. We see this with a lot of other adventures. You know, people are going after healing presets or your straight up damage types. You know, those are the two most common ones that we see. And so people who are actually seeking this out are either A, up to no good and just want the dark sounding powers, or B, are trying to fill a role that would put them on the top of an adventuring team, you know, try and gain prestige. I can see with these essences in particular, it'd be so difficult for someone who like came from nothing and is trying to build something up by fulfilling that role to even get their hands on something like this. But right. I think that's a possibility.
Yeah. And like you said, though, I mean, it is a rare combo, so it's unlikely to happen. However, we do find out later on that there's a fanboy of Jason Asano who goes for the same essence combo, you know, years later. Yes. I don't know if we've really gotten any follow up on him. I don't think we have. He wasn't mentioned in book 12. But I do believe he was on Earth, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, he was on Earth. I think he was part of the Japanese Asano clan.
Right. So it's possible we'll see something from that. So we may get a different diet Asano or just a very, very different take on the powers entirely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If I remember correctly, the blood essence is connected to his power attribute, correct?
Correct.
Right. And I find it weird, the sin and the blood essence, based on how he uses powers, seem to, technically speaking, line up to the incorrect essences, because blood, you know, his blood powers tend to be where his healing magic comes from, kind of. And then his sin powers is where a lot of his damage comes from, but his sin essence is linked to his recovery and his blood is linked to his power. And I just thought that was kind of odd that at least seemingly on the surface, they seem like they're crossed.
Kind of. I feel like it's not really about, you know, the attribute versus the abilities. I think it's more of a random assignment. And we've kind of discussed this a little bit with the Dark Essence, but we'll have to deep dive when we see Belinda and Sophie getting their essences and which attributes they get for which one, what their power sets are. We'll have to make right. this a full deep dive into it, but I feel like this is your standard video game. You know, you absorb an essence, it randomly bonds to an attribute. And then the Awakening Stones we use, we obviously know those are random assignment abilities. You know, so it's not your Awakening Stones aren't looking at which attribute your essence is bonded to. It's just looking at what powers can this essence give.
Right. But what I did notice, though, is, so kind of talking about the synergy of his powers, like his punish ability, that's damage from his recovery attribute. But it also sort of pseudo links with those blood powers, because he kind of gets that like red life drain ability. And I think, is that from the blood essence or is that from the doom essence or sin essence?
No, that's from the blood essence. He's got blood harvest, which is for already dead things, and then feast of blood for things that are still living.
Got you. So, okay. So he doesn't actually recover anything from the punish spell then, right?
It just adds necrotic damage in the sin affliction.
Got you. Well, either way...
So it's a pure damage spell.
I think the point that I was working up to still will stand, that if Jason Asano was a Pokemon, he would be a grass poison type. Because...
He absolutely would.
He's got the life drain powers and whatnot going on, but he's also got that affliction. So essentially, Jason Asano is a Venusaur.
Yeah, could do.
And he's got big Venusaur vibes in my mind.
He do indeed.
Talking a little bit more just to bring it all together with what essences kind of line up to his attributes. So blood essence lines up to power. Sin lines up to recovery. Dark, as we mentioned long ago, lines up with his speed, and then the Doom essence lines up with spirit. And all of these things together really, I think, paint a really cool picture of what we get out of Jason Asano, because as he becomes an astral being later on and does all the things that he does, like, he really does start to embody the spirit of Doom. Like his presence around is like kind of an oh shit moment for people. Now, obviously Dark makes sense because what's as fast as light, but dark, you know, the minute light's gone is dark. So Dark is inherently fast. And we did just go into the blood and sin essence attributes too, but all of them really shape this picture of what really is a very imposing figure that all the while is just masked underneath just a goofy office manager, you know?
Oh, for sure. And I think that would actually lead really well into a conversation to kind of wrap up the episode here. If we're feeling it. At the end of chapter 20 here, we get a little bit of the debate between whether or not your essences shape who you are, you know.
Right.
Now we get Rufus and Anissa's viewpoints kind of here on if the essences that you use and the awakening stones that you use shape the kind of person that you are, or if you just have those abilities and the person you are is determined by you.
Right. And I think one of the characters, I want to say it's Rufus, mentions that it's not the powers that make a man. Even in the real world, nothing is inherently evil. It's what you do with it. You know, having a lot of money doesn't necessarily make you an evil person, but what you do with it might make you an evil person.
Exactly. And I do, talking about the book itself, I believe there's like a middle ground between these two theories. You know, while it is more important what you do with your abilities that determines kind of what you are or who you are, I really do think that essences and abilities can strongly influence the kind of person that you are. You know, we see in Jason's case, he has the abilities that are seen or can be seen as, you know, evil or dark powers. And there are a lot of times through the books that he uses those powers. He leans into those connotations to kind of get what he wants. You know, Farrah is the kind of person that has that explosive, immediate lava power. And even here, you know, Farrah doesn't need to be sneaky when she can just blow up anything that she's trying to sneak past. I feel like if she had a power set a lot more like Jason's, she would be a lot more stealthy in a lot of cases. You know, I feel like the abilities that you have affect the way you live your life to a degree.
Absolutely.
You know, having dark powers, you know, if Jason had Farrah's abilities, I don't think he would be a stealth specialist. You know, I don't think he would go into political situations and try and manipulate it. I think he would slam down a lava hammer and be like, this is what's going to happen.
So I think it's a bit of both, though, in that, yes, the essences don't make you who you are, but they do dictate a lot about how you navigate. So I think it's a chicken and the egg kind of situation, in that both do influence each other, but at the same time, you know, they bring out elements of, you know, the essence user that were already there in the first place. So it's all really just working with what's already there. So in a sense, Rufus is right that it's not the powers that make you, because they may help mold you, but they don't make you. You would be that way even before the powers to some degree in your life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do think it's it's a lot of both. You know, the powers that Jason gets allows him to, you know, exude more of that, you know, political science manipulation form of him when he needs to. But they also help him maintain that facade as opposed to actively working against it.
Right.
So I don't think one school of thought is right and one is wrong. I think there's a combination of the two that should be taken into consideration.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. And one thing with Jason and his power set, you know, that we see kind of go back and forth and kind of influence each other is, you know, like his Doom essence. He even says it's like a yin yang lava lamp, but I don't think that light and dark thing is unintentional. I think it really is kind of the yin and yang in the sense that Jason is very much light and dark, and he always was like that. So, you know, with his yin yang essence, essentially, it just reinforces and helps guide him down his path. So I think that there's something to say in general about all of these things working well together regardless. And you can't really pinpoint one way or another how much influence is coming from either side, because it really is synergy in its actual definition. One last thing as we wind down here. So here at the end of chapter 21, we see Jason beginning to absorb his essences and actually take them in. And they start to break down what his powers and abilities are with his new essences. But the important thing to note here is once he does actually take all four of these essences in, he ranks up to Iron Rank. And we won't get into his specific power set today, because we're going to do a whole episode next time just about his power set specifically. But I just thought it'd be fun to just talk about how gross it is to go through ranks.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, it is absolutely disgusting. I feel like Iron Rank is the worst of all of them. You know, what happens when you rank up, your body and the magic within it purges the impurities out of your system. You know, it turns you into a more pure version of yourself. And you know, there's one thing coming from Palamustis where you're basically living in the medieval era. You know, everything around you is either already magically clean or all natural. But coming from Earth, you know, when Jason lives in the land of refined sugars, it has a lot of impurities, both physical and I would say even mental. You know, because before coming to this world, he was a very mentally unstable person. He was very dark and brooding, and I would say depressed would be probably a good word for it.
Yeah, that would definitely be
the magic. Yeah, the magic purging his system to become a more pure version of himself leaves quite the mess. And this is the raw form of impurity itself. And so there is no getting away from it. It is horrific. It is basically equivalent to rainbow smoke, but in an oil form. And it's, oh,
dude,
it's horrible.
And it's so funny that the rest of the team just doesn't tell him it's gonna happen. The second he ranks up, yeah, and the gray light, iron light starts pouring out of him, he's like, I feel awesome, this is great. Everybody's backing up like, oh no, this is bad. And he's like, what? What's wrong? And then just proceeds to vomit, pass out, and seep grossness out of every pore. And so much so that the team then just goes, yeah, we're not touching that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's horrible. It's like, We want to help him, but we're not going near that. You crazy?
And essentially, in my mind, how this works is Jason has just become his own Zit, and he's just popped himself.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it is coming out of every pore, every orifice. It is just... basically, everything he was is now pus inside of a Zit, and it's just done.
Ugh. But
horrific.
Thankfully, I mean, and honestly, I think it's probably relieving, if not for the smell, to like, I mean, imagine how good you would actually feel if all of the weird impurities that you know nothing about just got out, and you, all of a sudden you feel like you're a brand new human. Like, it's probably feeling really great, but he's just got to wake up in this gooey grossness.
Yeah, that can't be good.
On next one, we are going to pick up right from this rank up goo pile. He's going to pick himself up from it and start really learning about what his powers are and what he can do with them. We're going to break down what his power set looks like now and in the future.
Yes, we will. Oh, yeah. And we'll deep dive into, for lack of a better term, the synergies of the powers that he has and where he can go with them. You're going to do a lot of Essence Awakenings. We're going to do a lot of Awakening Stones, and we'll get to meet Colin for the first time.
Yes, we will. And I'm excited for that because Colin, that's the best little guy.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
All right. Well, till next time, I've been D. Allen.
And I've been Donnie B. Make sure to follow us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, X, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, sir. Till next time, remember, buy monsters.
But don't become one.